talking about prayer back in Sunday school, and the Lord brought to my memory that song that Linda and the girls used to sing, "Someone is praying for me." Someone's praying for you is what the actual words were. Someone's praying for you. And the words to that song, the Lord was bringing the words back to my memory, a little bit back there, but he brought the rest of them, or a lot of the rest of them. And the words went like this: someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. When you feel you're all alone and your heart would break in two, just remember, someone's praying for you. When it seems that your strength, let's see how to go. Now it's slipping my mind here. It slipped my mind. I'm getting old, folks. Anyway, that song, "Someone is praying for you." There is people praying for you, and there's even people praying for you on the other side. You know, Scripture tells us that we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses that's urging us to go on to perfection. And, you know, whether we realize it or not, we're surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. And they are urging us to go on. I have to go over and get my glasses. I didn't get them. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to ask you guys, if there's some things that you would like to hear me preach on, I would like for you all to tell me, you know. Because sometimes some of the sermons that I've preached over the years, some of the best sermons that I've ever preached over the years has been when people have asked me questions or when they've said something. You know, I'd like to hear you speak on this or speak on that. You know, it almost inevitably, whenever that happens, then the Lord will just pour that stuff right into me, you know. And, you know, but I just want you to know that sometimes trying to figure out what to preach to you guys is sometimes the hardest thing. And the Lord inspires a lot of things. But I'm kind of debating between two things up here. I was going to talk to you a little bit about the fire of God today. And then I also am, with some of the things that Clyde was saying, I was thinking that maybe I should go back over Psalm 82. And so I'm kind of torn between two different things up here. So I think I'm going to go over Psalm 82, okay? And, you know, like Clyde was saying, when the Lord lays something on your heart to pray for, you need to do it. You need to be obedient, and you need to do what he's telling you to do. And Psalm 82, I love Psalm 82 because it's speaking to you, and it's speaking to me. And you know, a lot of people like to take the Psalms and say, oh, well, they're just beautiful poems and all that. Well, no, they're not. They're a prophetic word. And it's a prophetic word that's for the ages. It's not just for a specific time or specific season, but it's for the ages. And, you know, Psalm 82, it goes like this: God stands in the congregation of the mighty, and he judges among the gods. And you know, Jesus said one time, they got mad at him because he was basically telling them he was the Son of God, and they took up stones and they were going to stone him. And he basically told them, he says, your own scripture declares that I have said, and he didn't say that it says, he said that I have said that you are gods to whom the word of God comes. And, you know, a lot of times we walk way below what our responsibility is, what our power is, what our calling is in God. And it says God's, it goes ahead and it says God stands in the congregation of the mighty, and he judges among the gods. And all of the words in here that are God is the word Elohim. It's not different. It's not a different translation. And they'll has, when he says he judges among the gods, they put a little G there. Well, I want you to know it's not a little G. because God in you is the hope of glory. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And I think sometimes we don't realize, even when we pray for people, especially when we feel inspired to pray for people, because sometimes you can just spout off prayers, just start spouting off prayers, you know what I mean. But when you feel really inspired to pray for someone, there's power in that. And God doesn't lay that on your heart for no reason at all. When He starts laying people on your heart, you know, I know years ago, when I was a real young Christian, I used to come into church, and I've told you all this before, but I used to come in church sometimes when I'd be having a real rough time, you know, that week, real rough time spiritually. And God used to use, you know, a certain sister in the church, and she'd come up to me sometimes and say, "You've been on my heart all week long. I've been praying for you all week." And you don't know what that meant to me. I mean, that let me know that God cared. He knew. And you know, Brother Ernie used to come by sometimes. Brother Ernie never said too many profound things to me or anything like that. But sometimes he'd just come by and just pat me on the back, you know. And I'd just feel the love of God. And it would be sometime when I was really down and needed some encouragement. And you know what? God knows. He knows what you need. But anyway, He judges among the gods, and how long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Shelah, take notice. He's not saying that about Himself. He's saying that about you and about me. Defend the poor and the fatherless, and do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. And you know, a lot of times people are out there doing things and they're in bad situations because they don't know no better. They can't do any better than where they're at right now. But sometimes that's the time when God has you go talk to them, or has you say something to them, or has you encourage them. I was telling them back in Sunday school yesterday, we were at McDonald's, you know. I think that's the church, outside the church. We were at McDonald's, and there was this guy standing there, and I looked at him a couple times, and I thought, he looks familiar, but I didn't say anything. And he looked over at me a couple times, and then he come over and he said, "You're the preacher at Wings Christian Fellowship, ain't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You probably don't remember me." And as soon as he started talking, I started remembering who he was. Years ago, him and his wife came in the door back there, and they sat, it's been maybe, I don't know, it might be 5 years ago or so, but they sat in the back, and they came two or three different times. Well, the Lord gave me a prophetic word for him. For him first, and then for her. And I could just feel the joy of the Lord bubbling up inside of him as he was talking, you know, and he just... You could just see the love of God in him, you know what I mean? And it was just great. And I knew that God had taken him a long way from where he was when they came in here, you know, years ago. And anyway, you know, he just told me, he says, "We really enjoyed coming to your church, you know, and you ministered to us and all this stuff." And, you know, then I went and I sat down, and we're sitting there eating, and they were getting ready to leave, and they came over and started talking to us again. And he says, "I didn't know if you remembered me or not." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I do." I said, "Didn't you come on a motorcycle?" And he says, "Yeah." He says, "We did." he said, "I'm not riding it today," because it was raining like cats and dogs out there. He said, "I'm not riding it today." He said, "But, you know, he's a truck driver. That's what he does for a living." Well, we talked for a little while, you know, and he told me they were going to go up to a fellowship in Middletown that night, you know, because they travel around to different places and go all these different places. I guess they go where they feel like the Lord's taking them, you know. But anyway, after he walked away, his wife, she came over and she says, "I just want to tell you." She says, "You gave me a word when I was there." And she says, "I just want you to know it was exactly what I needed." And she said, "You told me that God had not unequally yoked me together with him." And she said, "I felt like I was so much less than him, you know, because he was a Christian, you know. And she said, I just felt like I was so much less. And she says, and now I know I'm not. And she says, God has just reinforced that to me, you know, basically is what she was saying. He's just reinforced that to me. And I realize that we're equally yoked together, you know. And, you know, sometimes spouses have a tendency, especially if you're the one that gets up and does the speaking and stuff a lot, they have a tendency to feel like, well, I really couldn't do that. And sometimes the things that they do speak louder than any words that you could ever say from up here, because they will be there for people when they need them. They'll love on people. They pray for people. They feel their hurts and their anguishes and everything. And you know, that song, Someone Is Praying For Me, when you feel you're all alone and your heart would break in two, just remember someone's praying for you. Won't you come up here and read it so we can get it on here? All right? Because that I love that song, and it slipped my mind, the words. I had some of them, and then it popped out of my head. Yeah, they are. That's a great song.
It says, someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. So when it seems you're all alone and your heart will break in two, remember, someone's praying for you. Have the crowds around you gathered in the midst of the storm? Is your ship tossed and battered? Are you weary and worn? Don't lose hope. Someone's praying for you this very day, and peace, be still, is already on the way. When it seems that you've prayed till your strength is all gone, and your tears fall like raindrops all the day long, he cares, and he knows just how much you can bear. He'll speak your name to someone in prayer.
What a tremendous word. What a tremendous word. And you know, that's what I say. When God inspires you to pray for somebody, pray for him. Be obedient. Do what he tells you. Anyway, he says, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Shelah. Deliver the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the land, out of the hand of the wicked. Not out of the land, I'm sorry, out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said that you are gods, or ye are gods, and your children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. You know, he's talking to us, if we would really understand what he's saying there. He's talking to us because if we will walk with the Lord on a daily basis, if we'll ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do today? What would you have me say to this person or that person? Or even when he brings something to your heart to pray for someone, just pray and ask God, what would you even have me pray for that person? And I believe he'll give you the right thing. You know, we were talking about out of 1 Corinthians back there in Sunday school about the foolishness. God has chose the foolish things to confound the wise. And sometimes when God inspires you to say something to somebody or go and do something for somebody, sometimes you think, well, I wonder what they'll think about me. And your mind right away starts going trick, 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 trying to talk you out of it. And you know what? Don't let that happen. Be obedient to whatever God's telling you to do. And you'll find out that he'll meet you in a special way. And he might not even let you know. I mean, that day that we went back and prayed for those people, I didn't know what God was going to do there. I mean, and sometimes people think because God give you a prophetic word for somebody or a word of knowledge or whatever it is, that you got all the answers. Well, you don't have the answers. He's the one that has all the answers. You just got to be obedient and do what he tells you to do when he tells you to do it. It's like Debbie when he opened up the opportunity for that lady to get prayer, you know, through Debbie. You know, Debbie didn't have to say, well, what's going on? What do you need me to pray for? All she had to do is just say, okay, I will pray for you, and go ahead and pray for her, even right then or when you pulled out of the spot or whatever it was. But, you know, God's going to bring us into more and more situations like that as we go along, I honestly believe. And I believe when we start getting more obedient, we're going to find that He's going to do some wonderful things. And we're going to start seeing miraculous things happen and people's lives changed. Sometimes it'll happen instantly, and sometimes it'll happen down the road. And we don't always know, but you know what? He knows. You know, I remember the last time Roy Ralph was here. You know, he was up on the platform with us. And I felt like that the Lord was giving me a word for Roy Ralph. And you know, Roy Ralph has a prophetic ministry. He's a very strong prophetic ministry. And, you know, sometimes it's harder to prophesy to those guys than it is to somebody else, you know, because you think, well, they're hearing from the Lord. Well, no, they ain't hearing from the Lord no more than you are, if you be honest about it. So I went and I told him what I felt like the Lord told me to tell him. Well, you know, I guess it was probably about a week or so later, he contacted Jim, because he didn't have my phone number. Jim always was kind of in between me and the ministers that came. So I didn't really get as close to him as I would like to, because he always was kind of a go-between between us. And that's one reason why I feel like, to a certain extent, it was kind of a little bit awkward at times, you know. But anyway, I appreciate that Brother Jim would line these guys up sometimes, but he always was kind of in between me and the minister. But anyway, Roy Ralph contacted Jim, and he said, would you see if they recorded that word? Well, we didn't really record it, I don't think. But he asked me, he says, Roy wants to know if you remember that prophetic word. And I always put that stuff out of my mind. After I give somebody a word, I don't try to ponder it. I don't try to think about it. I just put it out of my mind, because I've done what God told me to do. And if I start trying to figure it out, unless the Lord tells me to figure it out, then I'm going to tell them the wrong thing if they come back and ask me, you know, possibly. And I don't want to do that. You know, whatever God speaks to somebody through me, that's between them and God, you know. But anyway, I said, well, I can pray about it. I said, but normally I just put that stuff out of my mind. And I went and I prayed about it, and the Lord brought it back to me. And I wrote it down, and I had Jim send it to him. Well, what he said was, is that he had gotten that same word two other places. And what does Scripture say? Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And you know, that's the way God does things sometimes. Be obedient to whatever He's telling you to do. And sometimes if we're not careful, we let the earth be out of course, you know, because, and we let things be in a bad situation when we could be changing it by doing what God tells us to do, if it's praying for somebody or helping somebody or whatever it is. Okay, I'm going to read you some scriptures here, and this is Psalm 139. And it says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. You know, God knows all your ways, and He knows when your ways ain't His ways, and He lets you know when your ways ain't His ways. And you know what? His ways are way better than your ways. But anyway, it says, you're acquainted with all my ways, for there's not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, that Thou knowest it altogether. He knows what we're going to say before we say it, you know. And a lot of times, if it's the wrong thing, somewhere down the road, He'll let you know you said the wrong thing. And sometimes you've got to go back and make it right, you know. And thou hast beset me behind and before. In other words, he's in front of you and He's behind you. He's all around you. You're totally surrounded by God, you know. And it says, Thou hast beset me behind me and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And I love this. Whither shall I go forth from Thy Spirit? or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light unto me. And I'm telling you, even when you go through the dark times in your life, and the times you don't understand, and the times when you're basically saying, oh God, it's dark right now, I don't understand this, He'll make it light to you if you'll trust Him. You'll learn something there that you couldn't have learned any other way or any other time. And it says, yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and light are both like to thee. Darkness and light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth it right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance are fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, He knew what you was going to look like. He knew how much you was going to weigh. He knew when your hair was going to fall out. He knew when your teeth was going to get bad. He knew all that stuff. You know, sometimes we say, oh God, why's my hair falling out? Or why, how come I can't lose no weight or whatever? He knew all about that long before it ever happened. And sometimes we worry about things that mean absolutely nothing, you know. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O Lord. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sands. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. And when he's going to slay the wicked, he's going to slay the wickedness of the wicked. That's what he's going to slay. And it says, depart from me, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord? And we should not hate anybody, but what he's saying, you hate what they do, you know, and then you should hate that. And I am not grieved with those that raise up against me. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. You know, I think the last time I talked to you, I spoke to you a little bit about David, and about how that, you know, when he became king and Saul was killed, you know, one of Saul's relatives, when Absalom committed adultery with and cast David out of the kingdom and committed adultery with his wives and his concubines and went up on the roof and did it so all Israel could see the shame of it, you know, and David's and his mighty men are leaving the town. Rather than him wanting to rise up and kill his son, he didn't want to rise up and kill his son, and he probably could have done it because the men he had with him were some mighty, mighty warriors. I mean, they killed hundreds of people in battle and stuff, but he rose up and he left the town rather than kill his son. And that tells you how much love David had in his heart, you know. And as he left the town, that relative of Saul's was going along the hillside and throwing rocks and dirt and cursing David all the way, and kept doing it as long as David was walking up the road. And David's men was getting really mad. They wanted to kill that man or that boy. And you know what? David said, no, leave him alone. He said, for I perceive that the Lord hath sent him to chasten me. And you know what? Sometimes when people say bad stuff about you or something, or something's going on, God's letting you be chastened a little bit, you know. And you have to realize, you know, that he's in control of all this stuff, folks. There's nothing outside of his control in what's happening in your life, my life, or out there in the world. And we don't always understand it, and we're not meant to understand it at this point, because there would be no trial in it if we did understand it, you know. But we don't understand it, but we just need to move and flow with him as he moves us and flows in us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And you know that's exactly what he does. And see if there be any wickedness, wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I love that. That's a beautiful scripture. You know, I was going to share this about the fire, and I would get into it, but it's kind of long, so if I shared it, we'd have to stay here for a little while. So I'm probably not going to share it. I'm going to get it to you eventually, though. And I want you to know that our perception of fire and of and I'm going to even say this, even of hell sometimes, it's not really valid when we really understand what God is. You know, I love what David said over here when he said, if I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. And what is God? What does the word say God is? Our God is a what? Consuming fire. So you mean maybe he's the consuming fire in hell? If he's there and he's the fire, guess what? He's the consuming fire in hell. And I'm going to tell you what, and not only that, but that fire is to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble in people's lives. It's to destroy the wickedness that's in them. And I'm not going to tell you it's going to destroy them, but I'm going to tell you, I know it'll destroy that. But anyway, I just wanted to just throw that in there. And I was going to use this scripture over here with the other scriptures I've got up here on this other one. And maybe I ought to just go through a little bit of this quickly, because I've brought it up here. And I'm going to read a little bit of it to you, and I'll go through it as quickly as I can. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things, and you all underline this in your Bible, and put yellow around it, and everything else. And all things are of God. Wait a minute. All things are of God. Everything out there that you don't understand, it's of God. You need to just step back and let the Lord unfold it, whatever he's going to do, and not throw your, like Clive was saying, God laughs when you do what? Give him your opinion on it. Because it's usually going to be wrong. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors of Christ, as though as through God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, in all things that he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, that he might be make peace through the blood of the cross, to him to reconcile all things. How many things? All things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you, who sometimes were alienated and enemies by your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of flesh through the death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled and not moved away, the hope of the gospel to which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Therefore I, Paul, am made a minister who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that behind me in affliction, Christ in my flesh and for body's sake, which is the church. I therefore made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given unto me to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hidden from past generations and is now made manifest, to whom God would make known the riches of his glory and mystery among the Gentiles, which is in the hope of glory, when we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man as Christ in you, was what that mystery was. Christ, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. How many men? Every man. Thereunto I also labor, striving according to the work that worketh in me mightily. You know, in Revelations, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this, in Revelations 21, 7 and 8, and I'm going to tell you that what happened on the day of Pentecost, they were up in the upper room, they were in one accord. What happened? A rushing mighty wind came in. What happened when that rushing mighty wind came in? They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Cloven tongues of what sat on their head? Fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Okay. In Revelation 21:7, now, a lot of people talk about hell. They say, well, hell's eternal. Hell's everlasting. People are going to burn in hell forever. I don't believe it. And I'm going to tell you why. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving, and abominable murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all the liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Okay, now the word for lake there is a word that means nearness to shore. Okay, a small or large pond, a lake apparently. And when he talks about brimstone, it said apparently a verb, it burneth with fire. The word for fire there is apparently a verb to set on fire, to kindle, to consume, to burn, to light. Fire literally, lightning, fire, kindle, fire, Greek. You know, that's the Greek word for it. But the word for brimstone there is the word theos. Okay? And it, in its original sense of flashing, sulfur, brimstone, theo, it means godlike. Now, hell and death were cast into the lake of fire. So what were they being cast into if it was burning with brimstone? And that's the meaning of the word brimstone. Wasn't it being cast into God? Okay. And theos is godlike, neuter, a noun, divinity, divine Godhead. And divinity, deity, Latin, it also used in the Greek to denote the divine nature and power and providence. In general English English lexicon of the New Testament, apparently equivalent to the divine incense, because burning brimstone was regarded as having the power to purify. So what's going to happen when they're all cast into that lake of fire? They're going to be purified. Praise God. And you know, in Matthew 8:21, it says, another disciple said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Jesus said unto them, follow me, let the dead bury the dead. You know, Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. And 1 Corinthians 3:11-15, it says, for no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Okay? But it goes on and says, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. That cleansing, purifying fire. Luke 24:32, on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and another of the brothers in the Lord said one another, did not our hearts do what within us? Burn within us. That's that fire. While we talked with him on the way, while he opened up the scriptures, Hebrews 1:7 says, and the angel said, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Matthew 3:11 and 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there cometh one after me is mightier than I, whose shoelaces I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay, same word. All them fire words, it's all the same words, not different words. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his flour and gather the wheat into his barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The Lord dealt with me about chaff not long after I got saved. One of the first sermons I ever had Brother Eddie preach was about the chaff. And let me tell you what, in wheat, when you have wheat, there's a hard kernel around the outside of wheat. And that protects the inner part of it. And I got news for you, in people's lives sometimes there's a hard shell around the outside. But the real fruit is on the inside. And what he said here, I'll read you the rest of it here. What he said here, he'll thoroughly purge his fire and gather his wheat and will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And when it says purge, it means to cleanse. That word purge means to cleanse perfectly. He's gonna purge it. And he's going to cleanse it perfectly to shed forth the chaff. And Brother Eddie preached that sermon, and he said sometimes the things in your life that you can't seem to get rid of, and you've prayed about it, and you've asked God about it, and I still got some of them things in my life, and I still ask God about it. Take it away, Lord. And he leaves it there. And sometimes he leaves it there to let me know that I need to humble myself before him and know that this thing's all about him, because sometimes you can get puffed up if you think you're doing too good. And I got news for you. Sometimes we fall way short of the glory of God at times. But anyway, I'm going to go with you, read you with Galatians 2:19 and 20. And this is Paul talking, and he says, and I through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I wrote down here the second death talked about in Revelation. People must pass through the cleansing power of the lake of brimstone, a fire and brimstone. And I got news for you. They're going to have to pass through the same fire. And sometimes when you feel like there's fire in your life and you just think, oh my God, what else can happen? Just step back and say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to burn up in there? Or something needs to be burned up. And I got news for you. If we'll do that, if we'll go through the fire, we'll be just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which were cast into that fire that was 7 times hotter. And that were in had bonds upon them. They were tied up and hog-tied probably and everything else, and they throwed them in there. And you know, they should have been burned alive. But because they trusted in God and they knew that whether or not he'll deliver us, we don't know. But we know one thing. We're not going to bow down and worship your idol, you know. And I tell you what, old Nebuchadnezzar looked in there. And what did he see? Instead of 3 of them, he saw 4. And the fourth one was like unto the Son of God, it said. And they're walking around in there, and they came out without the smell of smoke on them or anything else. And I got news for you. God's trying to do that in our lives sometimes. And he's burning the wood, hay, and stubble up. And sometimes when we think we're having a hot roasting time, we need to realize that what he's trying to do is get us to acknowledge him so that he can take that wood, hay, and stubble, and those bonds that are bounding us, and begin to burn them off. Okay, well, that's all I had to share with you today, and I'm sorry I went kind of long there, but I felt like I needed to share this with people, and if anybody wants a copy of this sometime, I'll give it to you. It's terrific. I mean, you know, it took me a while to lay this out, but it's terrific because it lays out the fire. And I love what it says about the sulfur. It says, it's basically, the word there is the word theo, and it's word where you get the word Godhead and all that kind of stuff, and it's just a tremendous word. And boy, I tell you what, people just, they've got this thing all wrong. They're looking at it all wrong because they're just looking for everybody to be destroyed and all that. And I got news for you. I don't think he's going to destroy everybody. He's going to reclaim everything that belonged to him. They might have to go through that fire, and they might have to get that wood, hay, and stubble burned up in their lives. And what's involved in that, I can't tell you because he's never showed it to me. But I tell you what, he knows exactly what fire it's going to take and what it's going to take. And even with Moses, when he went up into the mount, and he said, I have to turn aside and see this great sight. What did he see? He saw a bush up there that was burning but wasn't being consumed. And what did God speak to him up there? First thing he said to him was, loose the sandals from off of your feet. And what was he saying? Why did he say that? Those sandals were something that meant that there was something between him and God in that holy ground he was standing on. And he wanted that taken away so that there would be nothing between Moses and the holy ground. You know, them sandals were a block from being standing totally in the presence of God. And when he loosed his sandals and stood down there, then God started telling him what he wanted him to do. And you know, that was part of the word that the Lord gave me for Roy Ralph. But the Lord told me to tell Roy Ralph to put his sandals on because he was going to send him out. I remember that. And you know what? It wasn't long after that, Roy started traveling all over the world. He started going to over in Europe and a whole bunch of different places. But he had received that word three different places, you know. And you know, that's the neat thing with God. If he wants you to do something, he's perfectly capable of letting you know. But that doesn't mean that the normal stuff that you need to do to love people and to treat them good and all that kind of stuff, you know to do that without him telling you. You know you're supposed to do that. So anyway, that's all I had to share with you today. If you'll stand up, we will close in a word of prayer. Debbie, how about you closing in a word of prayer for us? You. Mm-hmm. Amen. And like I told you all before, think about some of the things that you'd like for me to teach on, because a lot of times God will just open things up for me when somebody does that. And sometimes it's kind of hard for me because I've shared so many things over the years that unless I go back and reshare same things over and over, you know, I kind of don't know what you guys feel like you need to hear yourself sometimes, you know. So let me know if you feel inspired that you'd like for me to preach on something, then I'll try to do it. God bless you. Have a